I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips I'll still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. What a great truth to sing about this afternoon. You may be seated. Brother Michael, you come and preach to us. Yes, amen.
I was talking to Keith out there a little bit ago, and he was getting ready to leave, and he said, somebody that was here said, man, he said, your all's pastor has a little bit of fire behind him. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. You know, I don't think I'd be at this church if my pastor didn't have fire. But the reason he has fire is because he has Jesus Christ in his heart. And he'll testify to that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible never gets old, and no matter, you know, it seems like every time I open it up and I read a story, it doesn't matter if I've seen this story 100 times, I always get something new out of it. And, you know, that happened here with this. And, you know, I'm starting to prepare another message, and I was talking to my wife on the phone. I was driving to work or from work or something, and she asked me about the message, and I said, well, so that's, you know, here's what I think I'm going with. And then a little bit later, I talked to her again. I said, nope. I said, I just don't have peace about it. So then, you know, she likes to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to. So she tells me, you got your message prepared? I said, I got it. And I told her the title, and the title is Slaying the Giants in Your Life. Amen. Slaying the Giants in Your Life. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're going to have giants.
That's right.
You're going to have giants in your life. This story is, and I'm going to just give you a little quick background, the story of David and Goliath. It's a shepherd boy who was never military trained. The Bible says he was of his youth. This giant came out 40 straight days, and this giant said, send someone to fight me. If I win, you will be my servant. But if you win, I will be your servant. This giant, he struck such fear in the heart of God's people. No one would go against him. The Bible said that Goliath was trained from his youth. You think about Goliath. He was in the Bible. When you read it and it starts giving measurements, you're talking about 9 feet 6 inches tall. All right, that's kind of the statue, almost 10 feet. When the Bible talks about a cubit and you start talking about things, you know, we know how big a cubit is, okay? It's about 18 inches. It's from your elbow to the tip of your finger. So, you know, you just start looking at this, and we know about how big Goliath was. I can tell you that he was a big dude, all right? He was big, and people were scared of him. And, you know, you think the Bible said he was trained from his youth. Now, my son has gotten into this thing where he likes to lift weights, all right? I'm talking about Noah. And if you've seen Noah kind of grow up in a little bit, you can see he's starting to put on a little muscle, okay? He doesn't get that from me, okay? I can lift weights all day long. I'm going to look like a pencil, okay? A fat pencil. So, he's starting to bulk up a little bit. And when you start reading about this spear that was on the end of Goliath's spear that he had, when you start doing the math now, it's about 15 to 20 pounds. Now, I asked the preacher to do me a favor. He went over to his house, and he got a weight. This weight is 20 pounds. Now, the Bible says David was of his youth. He was small. He was probably around a teenager. Some people say he's around 16. The Bible doesn't give an age. Okay, you can do some math backwards and try to figure that out. He was younger than I am right now, and this is getting heavy. Okay? But can you imagine, this was just the tip of the spear. How about you right there in the back? Come right here. Come here. Right here. You know, he keeps looking away from me. I'm here. Come here a minute. I want you to stand right here. If you were David, all right, and I'm standing over here with a spear that is this heavy, is that scary? If you think I'm going to throw this at you, you don't think it's scary? Maybe you ought to hold it. Here. You got it? Now, kind of changed it a little bit. You'd kind of be scared, wouldn't you? If I was going to throw that at you, honestly, would that scare you? Oh, okay. Thank you. You can have a seat. Goliath got into the head of people to the point that people were so fearful of him. They lost their courage. They still had God, but they did not have God against the giant. You see, they still had God, okay? God never left them. But they never brought in the power of God. And that's where we fail as Christians today, is the power of God. Go ahead and look in verse 32, in Luke 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You see, it says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." David realized that Goliath had already gotten into their heart. He had already scared them. He scared them with his words. He scared them with his statue. He threatened to kill them. And it scared them. You see, they lost sight of the fact that we serve a mighty God.
Right.
That's what they lost.
Yep.
Verse 33, "And Saul said unto David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth."
Yeah.
You see, he said, "You can't fight. You're too little." When you see David, David was a young man. He was a young man. If you look up youth in the Bible, it's going to refer to him as a child. That would be his age. He would be a child. And then you have these adults. If I had all the adults come up here and stand on one side, and all of the children come up and stand on this side, and I said, I'm going to pick somebody to go fight this Goliath, it would probably not be from the kids over here. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to look at the most muscular person that is up here. And we'll say it's Brandon. But you're looking for somebody who's strong, who's got spark, wants to fight. In verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. How did the giant get into the hearts and minds of these people? You know what? If I could have counseled at David, I would have told him not to bring up the fact that he was a shepherd. Because that was the lowest position to hold. You know, a few verses earlier, his brothers got to him and they asked him about the sheep. And they referred to them as few sheep. So it's not like he was this big shepherd person who's going to have a huge flock and he's got to take care of them. He had few sheep. And yet, David had something different about him. Look at verse 35. I want you to see something. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. David went after the lion and the bear.
Yep.
He went after them. Now, I love to hunt. All right? I'm not too sure that I would go after a lion. If it would have been me and this bear came in or this lion came in and they grabbed one of the lambs, I would have went, bye-bye, lamb. I would have. You think he went and grabbed him by his beard and smote him. He took his responsibility so seriously. He went after them. If it would have been me, I wouldn't have. There's no way I would have. You see, I wonder, David, did you really know what you were going up against? Did you know what he was going to do when you decided to step up to that giant? David said, I see him, but everyone else was looking at the giant. David was looking at God. He was in awe about God's power. From his youth. Preacher mentioned earlier about a young man that is willing to preach and is on fire for God. We need our youth to get on fire for God.
Amen. That's right.
We need our youth to get excited about Amen. God's word and put those stinking cell phones away and all that other trash in your life and the music and anything else that's getting you. You need to get rid of it so you can understand the power of God.
That's right. Yes.
I didn't learn that until I was older. I grew up in a Christian home. But I did not understand this until I became much older. But let me tell you, I wouldn't trade my life for anything in the world. I have seen the power of God in my life to the point that you could not convince me otherwise, that there is not a God in heaven and He's not alive. That's why when the choir sings the songs, Beulah Land, and we talk about our Savior, sometimes you'll see tears coming down my cheeks because I am so excited to see my Savior. It's not going to be long. He's coming.
Right.
He's coming soon.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
If I was to ask you, what is in your heart? What is in your mind? What giant has gotten hold of you? You see, the God you serve is much bigger than any giant in your life. Sometimes we make mistakes and the devil will keep bringing them up. You know what he's doing? He's like he's a giant and he's trying to control your mind. Many times I have to remind the devil, that's under the blood.
Amen.
Sure. Yes.
It's under the blood.
Yeah.
Many people have addictions. That's their giant, is addictions. They can't conquer that giant. How about failure?
Yeah.
Failure, that may be a giant in your life. Everything you do just doesn't turn out right.
Yeah.
I fail at doing this. I fail at doing this. I fail at doing this. You know what? That could be a giant.
That's right. That's right.
How about the giant of lust?
Yes.
We're here at Myrtle Beach. I can't tell you how many times when I walk, If I'm at the beach and I'm walking with my wife, I'll have to turn my head.
Sure.
It's all the time.
Yep.
I can't even go to a job from work and I'm driving in my work vehicle and driving down the boulevard. I have to avoid some areas because I know what it is.
That's right. Sure.
I have to guard my heart.
Yes.
I have to guard my eyes. I have to watch. Maybe you say, I don't have the faith to tithe. That could be a giant in your life.
Yep, that's right.
God said, give and it shall be given unto you.
Right.
He did not ask you to give in your ability. He asked you to give in His promised ability.
Yeah.
You see, everything that I give to God, God's given back to me.
Right.
There's been times when I did not have 2 cents to rub together. And have given my tithe and said, Lord, this is all I have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then walk out to my car. And I'll never forget an envelope being on my window of our car. Nobody knew our situation. Nobody knew. My wife actually said on the way to church that day, I don't know how we're going to eat. We go in, we gave our tithe. We come out, and on the windshield of our car is an envelope just sticking on the windshield. How much was in it? Do you remember? It was several hundred dollars.
Amen.
Several hundred dollars. You see, God said, I'm going to take care of you. I've got you.
Yep.
I'll never forget sitting in the parking lot of the church and just weeping and thanking God for taking care of us.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from other than God took care of me. That's all that matters. God took care of me. Do you ever get mad? Some people say that they're so mad that they are lost for words. I never draw a blank. I can always come up with something.
Yeah.
That could be a giant in your life.
Yes, Lord, help us.
That could be a giant.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a little marriage advice, Brandon. There's many times when your wife will say something to you, and you've got a clever comeback. You have to fight that giant. Don't do it. Don't do it. What is the giant in your life? Your speech is not kind. Maybe that's a giant that has you. He's got his grip on you because your speech is not kind. You see, when somebody says something that it makes you mad, what you try to do is go back at them and cut them down even further than you are.
That's right.
That's all it is. What is it in your life that the giant gets a grip of? The devil unleashes giants all the time. There's giants everywhere. And honestly, if you want to go back and see where that giant came from, Goliath, you can trace that back. He's a descendant from Canaan. And if you really want to trace it back any further, you can trace it back to fallen angels. That's where the giants come from, is fallen angels. If you're saved and you made a decision to put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, many people make that decision not knowing that they really want to pull that trigger. You see, death cannot hold. Death could not hold Jesus Christ in the grave. It couldn't. It could not hold him. This giant in your life could be pride. That's what kept me from getting saved. It was pride. I was scared to death to think what people would think if a deacon in the church was not saved. My dad was a youth pastor at one time, and I was just afraid. What would people think about it? What would people really think if they knew that I wasn't saved? So I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Finally, I got under such conviction, I had to get it right. I'll never forget calling my parents or calling my dad and saying, you know, Dad, I need you to come up. I need to talk to you. And Dad came up to my house and he sat down on a couch. And, you know, my mom, she said, you know, maybe you're just doubting your salvation. I said, no, Mom, I'm not saved. And I got it right. And I have that peace. And there's no doubt in my mind that I'm saved. The power that comes with salvation is absolutely amazing.
Amen. That's right.
If you're going to slay that giant, don't do it on your own power. You see, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
You have to do it through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There's no other way that you're going to slay the giant of salvation unless you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You have to go through him.
That's right.
That's the only way. There's too many people playing games. They come to church and they think, you know what? I can look the part. I can act the part. You can only look and act it so much. You know what my sister ended up telling me after the fact, after I accepted Christ as my Savior? Michael, I knew there was something there. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I've been praying for you. My sister knew. A lot of other people came up and said, man, I'm so glad you got it settled. The pastor came up, and the pastor, when I told him, I said, preacher, I said, I can't be a deacon anymore. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, I just accepted Christ as my Savior. I said, I need to be baptized. I need to get this thing right.
Amen.
And he said, I'm so glad that I'll see you in heaven.
Yep.
Amen.
He didn't say, Michael, are you crazy? It was pride. I was worried about what my wife would think.
Yeah.
You know what I found out? My wife wasn't saved either. But glory to God, we got it settled.
Amen.
2 Peter 1:3 says that God gives us divine power. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Nothing can fell the giant but the power of God. There's nothing else that's going to fall that giant. I don't care what it is in your life. I am getting to the point now where when these giants come up, I'll say to my wife, I just slayed that giant. I said it the other day. I said it at your house when I was over at Brandon and them's house. They didn't know what I was talking about, but I told her, I just slayed that giant. My wife has slayed a giant that has helped me. She slays many giants. If you all knew my wife, she has lost over 200 pounds. That was a giant in her life. She tried many times to go on different diets and to lose weight on her own accord. She tried. She at one point, she lost 100 pounds, I think, or a little over 100 pounds. And then it was Camden's fault. She had Camden, and she gained it all back. So we'll blame him. But she tried. She couldn't lose it. And then she went into heart failure. And she understood something, that she either had to change the way that she was eating or she was going to die. How do you do that? Many people say they could not give up the things that she's given up. They say, I can't do it. You're doing it under the wrong power.
That's right.
She'll tell you that the only way she can do it is she had to give it to God.
That's right.
Do you know what she does? She gets up every single morning, and no, I do not get up with her. I do not go with her. But she walks over 5 miles a day in stage 4 heart failure with a pump pumping her heart, batteries on her side, and she has given it to God. You say, how do you know she's given it to God? Because when she walks, she comes back and she says she enjoyed that walk. You see, I know what she's doing. She's told me. She's praying.
Amen.
Yeah, she's praying for you all.
Amen.
The people in this church that have medical problems, you're on her list.
Amen.
All right? She's not praying for herself. She's praying for other people. You want to talk about an encouragement to me?
Sure.
Man, lights my fire. Don't tell her. Make her head big. David protected his heart. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him in verse 32. You see, the first thing that David did was he protected his heart. If I spent any time with David, I would have seen a child who has given his heart and his life to God. My question is, if I spent any time with you, would I be able to say, man, they've given their life to God? Would I? Or would I be like, you know what? They haven't. Number two, David, in verse 35, David went after him. You see, David knew that there was a giant, and when it came, David had practiced this because he had already went after the bear, he had already went after the lion. He went after him. If you have those giants in your life, go after them. Go after them.
That's right.
Don't let it sit and boil and fester.
That's right.
You let this sin sit in your life, it will destroy you.
That's
get up and face it.
That's right.
If you're wrong, say you're wrong.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
In verse 36, David smote him and slew him. You see, he took care of the problem.
Yes. Yes.
He took care of it.
Amen.
You have to decide in your life, I'm going to do this.
Yep.
With God's help, I'm going to do it. And you ask God to help you, God will help you. God will help you. David refused to allow the giant to defile the living God. In verse 36, the Bible says that thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David refused to allow the giant to defile his living God.
Amen.
You know what that means? At school, you need to take a stand.
That's right.
At work, you need to take a stand. David trusted God to deliver him out of the hand of the giants. In verse 37, David said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee."
Yeah, amen.
You see, he was putting his trust in God, in God alone. I want you to look in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Now listen, a helmet of brass, if you've ever held brass, brass is very heavy. It's very heavy. It's I can't imagine having a helmet of brass. And he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. I want you to see here. Look over, it says, "For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. He was going with something he has proved. He is going with God. I don't know about you all, but I have been into some situations where I needed God. No man could help me. No doctor could help. There is nothing else I could do other than to say, it's going to be God. I am with David in this point where I've proven God in my life. I've seen him do miracles and I've seen him take a life of sin. And because I am a willing vessel and saying, "Lord, here I am." He uses me.
Yes, that's right.
Bless him. Yes.
Then he does something else. He puts people in my life to help me.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
I moved here from Virginia. I didn't have a grandfather. We didn't have grandparents here. All of our grandparents are dead now. God used some of you all as grandparents for us. He did.
Amen.
God uses some of you to encourage us. David was only going to use what was proved.
Yep.
And that was the power of God. In verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled.
Yeah.
You see, David, he did this for God's honor and pleasure.
Yeah.
Not with any self-motivation. God did not fight Goliath in order to, or David did not fight the Goliath in order to get the reward from Saul. But only to prove how real and powerful the living God is.
That's right.
That was all he did.
Yeah.
If you want to honestly know why God has answered prayer in my life, and I honestly truly believe this, it's because from the beginning of my wife's sickness, we've said, Lord, we want you to get the glory. That's why. That's honestly, that's why.
Amen.
It is so important that God get the glory. There's nothing that we can do. People ask us all the time, how in the world are you dealing with this? We're not. I don't feel like we're dealing with anything major.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
People, you know, talk about her getting ready to have a heart transplant. Is it scary? Oh, you start thinking about it. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of risk to it. But God's in control.
That's right.
People ask her all the time, are you scared? She said the other day, she said, you know, somebody asked her if she was scared to have a heart transplant. Are you trying to scare her with heaven? I mean, she's got two choices. She can wake up and see this beautiful face, or she can wake up and see God. If it was me, I'd go ahead and check out, okay? But you can't scare us with heaven. I know by talking to her, you know, she's accepted Christ as her Savior. I see the fruit in her life. What giants do you need to slay? What is it going to take to get you to slay that giant? Is it going to take somebody close to you dying, getting sick? What's it going to take for God to get a hold of you? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, what's it going to take for you to slay that giant? I can assure you that I don't care who you are in this church. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you came down right here and you met the pastor, he's going to get down on his knees right here and he's going to show you how you can be saved, and he's going to weep with you because he loves you and he understands what it is. It's the love of Christ.
Yeah.
The fire that he has is the love of Christ.
Amen.
The reason we're standing up here is because the love of Christ.
Right.
Nobody's going to make fun of you. If your friends are making fun of you, you need to get renewed friends.
That's right.
What's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to slay that giant? Verse 46, the Bible says, the day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. You see, he knew before he ever walked up there and he got ready to fight that, he trusted God to the point he said, you know what? I'm going to be able to bring that giant down.
Yeah.
Whatever giant you have in your life, it's the same thing. You have a giant in your life, you need to say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And you go out and you face and you fight that giant. What's the giant in your life? What is it? All of us have them. It's whether you choose to admit it or not. What's the giant? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around.